Greetings, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Wandering One Podcast, brought to you by yours truly, Link Flores, your host, and Wandering One Studios. How are you? And congratulations to us. We're just 2 days away from our 2-year anniversary of The Wandering One Podcast. So thank you guys for making this happen. Thank me for not giving up on the thing. I'd like to thank myself first and foremost, because of course I'm amazing. Really has been a team effort, honestly. I mean, it's one thing to get up and record the podcast every week, but it's another thing if nobody listens. And it really does mean a lot that you guys have shared it around, that you keep coming back week after week. All the support through Patreon has been incredible. Thank you guys so very much. Our Patreon supporters are the best. And I got to get some more stuff together for you guys. It's been a year, man. I feel like everybody else is saying the same thing. Like, this year has been the longest decade ever. It's crazy. Like, we're in October right now. It still hasn't, the weather hasn't changed, by the way. If you hear pitter-pattering in the background, it's because it's raining this morning and afternoon, and I'm really digging it. It's one of the things that actually usually would put me to sleep, but for some reason, I'm just motivated, and it's great. But yeah, this year has been just bananas. We've seen so much crazy shit over the last year. Like, the fact that all of us are not completely, like, you know, wrapped up in straitjackets in a room with a padded wall, with padded walls or whatever, is it's pretty impressive. So, yeah. Congratulations to you too, then. Thank you. Congratulations to you, the listeners out there, for helping make this pop. And you know what? I say it all the time. Thank you for listening and sharing is awesome. Thank you for any financial support you're able to do over on Patreon. That's great too. Seriously, the biggest thing is just to share the podcast and rate it wherever you can. Rate it, comment, you know what I mean? Just kind of boosts the podcast overall overall viewership. You know, the people, more eyes get on the podcast, more ears get to hear it. So keep that up, keep that going. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. And also, man, the support through Twitch has been great too. Thank you guys for that. I'm coming up on 8 years next March. I think it's March or April, somewhere in there. But yeah, 8 years of streaming on Twitch. Really excited. We got some gaming stuff to talk about today, too, because I'm sure that you guys have heard the news and read the interviews. But yeah, let's get after it. Let's get some of the boring shit out of the way. Let's be honest. There's like so much dumb shit that's happened in the world. You guys have seen all the mess that's happening in Chicago. I'm sure you've seen the videos of the ICE raids. You've seen you've heard about at least the commander in Cheeto saying that he was going to send federal troops into Chicago. And at every turn, it seems like federal judges are shooting those orders down or stalling them. The ones who are being, you know, really good about it are shooting them down directly. They're like, you're not allowed to do that. The ones who are very limp-wristed about it are like, well, we'll wait and see. You know, it's like, dude, just say yes or no. You know, I mean, that's one of the things I learned when I was real young, is like, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. But this wishy-washy bullshit, all it does is just make him think, well, I can sweeten the deal some. You know he's a charlatan. You know he's a scammer, right? So, like, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for him to offer you some kind of concession so you'll swing the vote his way? Because that's all it looks like to me. It looks like you're waiting for a bribe. You know, it's like, you know, you just tuck your hand behind your back. You know, come on, throw a little something my way, Donnie boy. Like, I can't be cool with a judge like that. I wouldn't trust them to be part of my judiciary. You know what I mean? I don't trust anybody in Florida anyway, because they're all pretty ridiculous. Especially like the higher ups in the governmental structure here. But yeah, I have to look at those judges and be like, yeah, what are you waiting on? Huh? You know the law. Part of your job is to interpret the law. So if you're there and you read it and you interpret it, what did you miss? But anyway, congratulations and shout out to those governors, to those justices, and the good people of each and every municipality that are currently getting assailed by our president as opposed to being treated like citizens. Thank you for standing up, you know? And like I said, the troops going into Chicago, the ICE raids, the disgusting video that Christy Noem had put together, where she's trying to make it look like they were fighting terrorists or something, when they're really just walking in on American citizens and disrupting their evening while they're trying to sleep. All this is posturing. For those of you who weren't aware and hadn't noticed it, this is all posturing. And it's designed, seriously, to kind of make, to normalize and to legitimize these power grabs by the Trump regime and the Republican Party / MAGA morons. Stupid shit, right? Like him trying to give away Eisenhower's sword and putting a gift shop in the fucking White House. Like it's Space Mountain or some shit. Who the fuck does that? He's just such an unpresidential dickhead, and no one stops him. You know what I mean? Nobody in his entire cabinet was like, that's not a great idea. They're like, yeah, fuck it, do it. Let's see what happens. You know? The Trump Epstein statue that was really awesome that they got a permit for on the National Mall, and then those assholes came over and tore it down because they said there was one thing that was wrong with it. So they tore it down, broke it. And then the people who made it went to go and pick it back up. Then they barricaded the site where they were supposed to be putting it up. And they have federal employees basically barring their entrance to the site. So they're already violating their rights and stuff like that. So, you know, like I said, every time they do it, they make it seem like, hey, man, it's not this, it's that, it's not this, it's that. And then they're like, oh, it's just smoke and mirrors the whole time around. Like I said, those troops that he's trying to send to Portland, the funny thing about it is there people in the city are standing up to in Portland and Chicago, even in D.C. Like they were yelling people were yelling ICE raids off the streets, videotaping them. There was a man, it was a horrifying video. I watched it and I started crying immediately of a man who's being attacked, essentially, by ICE agents, supposedly. And the entire community came out and circled around him and wouldn't let them get him into the vehicle. They tried to stuff him in the backseat of the car and you could just hear him yelling, ayúdame, ayúdame, which help me for those of you who don't speak Spanish. But like people came out to help. You know what I mean? I was like, man, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it right now, just seeing like Chicago and standing up to tyranny. And they came together to help one dude. They put themselves in the middle of the street in harm's way in front of people with guns to help save that man from being illegally snatched off the street. They were just arresting Browns. All you had to be is brown and outside. They're not showing up with warrants. Like the raid in Chicago where they emptied out an entire apartment building and held over 50-something people overnight because they were detained. And they ended up only making like a handful of arrests out of that whole shit. But dragging naked children out, zip-tying kids on the concrete. The reason they're putting all this stuff and they're hitting it with this rapid-fire barrage of shit, you know, is so that you don't have time to get mad about the thing they did yesterday because the new thing they're about to fuck up today is just happening at lightning speed. Sending 400 Texas Army National Guard to Chicago? See, those assholes would go. And just like fuck Florida, fuck Texas too. You know, I have family who live in Texas. I wish they would just leave. That state sucks ass. Until it becomes Mexico again, Texas will never be right. Let's just call it what it is. Texas is like another cancer on the soul of America, which is unfortunate because it's not that there aren't good people that live in Texas. I'm sure there are. But overall, Texas is just kind of like bang, 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 bang. And you're like, well, you can't really reason with that kind of mentality. And, you know, like there's so much shit that's happening that it's kind of insane and it's hard to keep track of. Like, again, who is it? Laura Loomer, I think it was, on Twitter was like, please don't give Ghislaine Maxwell a pardon. Like, whatever you do, don't do that. This might be the only, like, reasonable voice that's happened. And it's not even that she's that great at it, you know what I mean? But there's one thing. She only did it for the optics. She's not trying to help. She didn't give a fuck about, you know, Trump overall, because they don't care about anybody but themselves. She's like, please don't give Ghislaine Maxwell a pardon. And they're probably going to say the same thing about Diddy, who only get 4 years for basically sex trafficking. Same thing Jeffrey Epstein did that got him killed and got Ghislaine locked up for 20. He's going to get 4 years for that shit because they dropped the charges down. They nerfed the sentencing. I'm like, come on. He's going to ask Trump for a pardon. And Trump even mentioned it. You know, I call him Puff Daddy.
You might ask for a pardon. We'll really have to look into it. I don't know. We'll have to see. But, you know, great guy. Great guy.
Fuck that dude. It's just really bizarre that they're doing all this crazy shit. And like I said, it keeps coming so rapid fire. And Trump pretending like he doesn't know Ghislaine Maxwell was hilarious too, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw that.
He's like, I haven't heard that name in a while. And we'll have to see. I got some people that talked to the DOJ. We're going to work it out. And yeah, but I don't know. I will have to look at it. We'll have to look at it.
Yeah, fucking that jackass. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting a little off track here. But I mean, that's the thing. I was trying to explain it to like my mom, my sister. We were having this debate about all this horrible shit, basically. We were like, what in the fuck is happening? My mom was like, yeah, one of your cousins took down her American flag this week. She's the daughter of a vet. Her father, we're Mexican, that's my family, and came over here and he got naturalized citizenship and fought in the military. He was a Marine. Her son served in the Army in the National Guard. And she's like, after the way they treat us, the way that they act like we're not citizens just because our skin isn't white and our eyes aren't blue, I can't have this flag in front of my house anymore. I don't believe in this country. I don't believe in the promise of America anymore because I've seen what America thinks of us. She's like, I'm a natural born citizen of this country. And they're telling me I should probably walk around with my birth certificate and my social security card on me to prove that I'm an American citizen. What? And that, to her credit, she's taking that stance and I get it because I wouldn't do the same thing either. But why would that make a fucking difference? They're not looking at the documents anyway. They're just arresting people and putting them in zip ties and throwing them in a truck. They don't give a shit. They've deported veterans. They've deported actual veterans. You meet a United States, so active duty soldiers even. They don't care. They just want to get rid of brown people. This is just a racist campaign. That's all it is. And the funky thing about it is they started off small by going after women. And I say small only because they figured, I mean, we could probably get this one by, right? Like, we could sneak this past. When we get rid of Roe v. Wade, that'd be one small victory. And people won't show up to vote for it because they'll think like, well, it doesn't affect me right now. And that's what usually gets people like this. They like, it's the whole, it doesn't affect me right now. Yeah, it doesn't right now. But those people who grabbed that guy from those ICE agents in the streets of Chicago, they knew. It's him today. It's me tomorrow. And the closer it's that thing from like, you know, Reservoir Dogs. The closer they get to him, the closer they get to you. The closer they get to you, the closer they get to me. And that can't happen. Makes me furious, so mad, like the frustration and rage. All you can do is just sit and just let tears run down your face because you just want to do something heinous. And you know that only is just going to spur it on even more. But what the fuck are we supposed to do? And I get the frustration from people who say, well, voting doesn't matter. Well, it would have if more people had showed the fuck up to the polls and voted for something. There were so many people who were just like, if it doesn't bother me, I don't care. That kind of lackadaisical attitude is why we're in the position we're in right now. You know, like I said, it broke my heart to watch that. I mean, my cousin loved this country. And now she's like, this country is really just, it keeps showing me day after day after day. They don't give a fuck about me. Hey, we got Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, talking all that shit. And we're like, hey, you know, all this, what is it? The word I'm looking for. I'm trying to remember the name. There's a name for this kind of shit. But basically saying, you know, like the LGBTQ community is, you know, it's all just kind of like mental illness, or they're the only notable way or whatever, or recognized way of being a couple is being a man and a woman. Meanwhile, this dude is ripping up Grindr. You know what I mean? The RNC in general, shit like Turning Point USA, CPAC. Whenever those conventions show up, Grindr just goes nuts because these guys are just like, woo, I can finally let my freak flag fly. And it's like, you could have done that anyway. I probably would have respected you more if you were an openly gay asshole. That didn't play out well. It sounded better in my head. But you know what I'm saying. Like, if you were just out there and being, you know, being your freakiest self, and you're still a dickhead, at least I'd be like, well, at least he's not hiding anything. You know what I mean? Really holding nothing back here. It's not the coolest shit you could do, but I'd at least respect that a little bit more. But that's just it, you know? It's all this stuff that's being done in the shadows. You know? Okay, like, let's say for this Polk County teacher, by the way. You've probably seen this video too. I don't want to link to the video just because I don't want to give this bitch any more airtime than she's gonna get. But she was heinous, and she's like, oh, I'm gonna sing a happy birthday song. I'm gonna sing my funny version. Do you want to hear it? And this little black child is like, yeah. And then she sings the version that I've only ever heard kids sing this to each other, where they're like, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. You smell like a monkey and you look like one too. And like, they'll say, happy birthday to you. You live in a zoo and all this other shit and rhyme together. And this little poor black kid is just sitting there like, what the fuck is going on right now? And all the other little white kids, they're kind of like tittering a little bit, but like you could tell, like, you can see they're kind of nervous about this, like, ah, and the teacher's like, go ahead, laugh. And then they're like, ha ha ha. I was like, who would think to do that? It's like, she's been under a rock this whole time? Like, how would you wake up every day as an educator, as a human being, as an American, looking around the cultural and political climate and the racial climate of this country, let alone the state of Florida and let alone Polk County, and be like, it'll be really fun to sing a song about a black kid looking like a monkey and being in a zoo, wouldn't it? Hee hee hee. It's Polk County, so I'm almost positive nothing's going to really happen to this chick. But I was his mama. We might have to meet out on the street for that shit. That would be some shit. You did that to my baby. And again, like I said, all this antagonism against, you know, ethnic minorities and whatnot, it's all designed, you know, to make it normal, to make it okay, to view us as less than people. So when they decide to really wage a campaign against us, it's like, well, they're not really human. Why should we care? You know, that's all this shit about Bad Bunny and the Super Bowl. Like, he's going to perform at the Super Bowl, which they said, again, I pointed out, and I've never paid attention. But apparently he performed at the Super Bowl 5 years ago. And so they're going to make a big issue out of that because, you know, oh, it should be about English. Puerto Rico's a United States colony. You don't like it, give it back. Give them their freedom. Emancipate Puerto Rico, and then you can have all that bigotry you want. But until then, they're American citizens. They deserve the same respect as everybody else. From Texas to D.C. to Wyoming to Florida to Kansas to Delaware and New Hampshire. I rolled them together. Yeah, all of them. They deserve the same level of respect under the American government, but not for these white people. And not for Black MAGA either. It's just anybody who's like these, I've heard the term pick me a lot, and I had never really heard that until recently, but I knew the sentiment. This whole kind of Black MAGA or Latinos for Trump kind of bullshit, like if we just stay as adjacent to white structures of power, then eventually they'll be like, I choose you, you're one of the good ones. Who wants that? Who wants that? I know who wants it because I've seen them on the news, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, who wants to be Tim Scott? Ain't nobody dying to be Tim Scott. Anybody dying to be Byron Daniels or Donalds or whatever? Anybody dying to be Candace Owens? No one has looked at, I want to be like Candace Owens. I want to be like Herschel Walker when I grow up. Maybe when he was playing football, but not today. See, it's all a smokescreen. And the reason it happens so hard and so fast and so frequently is because it's trying to basically either spin you out of control with rage, as a, you would be a normal, rational human being who'd want to talk things out, who'd want to work through litigation, who'd want to work through, you know, a collaborative process to try to work these issues to a place where we can have mutual understanding. It wants you to make you crazy enough to climb a clock tower. But it also wants to make those people who are a little unhinged and a little, more than a little, actually, how do I put this? Best way to put it, perverse and morally and mentally bankrupt. It enables them to go, well, I mean, the government doesn't even treat them like people. Why should I? And so when I don't get what I want, I don't have my way, I'll just go and do whatever I want. Perfect example. This guy, Vincent Battaloro, probably haven't heard about him by name, but he's a young guy who intentionally hit and killed two teenage girls. So here's the thing from the Times of India, which, by the way, it seems like it's crazy that you have to look to other news sources outside of the Americas to get any kind of actual news reporting on some of this shit. It's insane. It was like the third or fourth result that actually mentioned this kid by name, which is wild. So, like, again, he's a MAGA and Charlie Kirk fan. You know, he said he'd been stalking this girl, Maria Niotis, for days, according to the neighbors. And then he hit her and her friend, Isabella Salas, and hit him with his truck and killed him. He said that a girl from his school was getting him in trouble by saying he had child porn allegations. And that's one of those things, like, you're getting a kid in legal trouble by saying something like that. If that's true, there's a way to handle that. It is not getting in your car and running someone over. It's absolutely not that. Then he came online and was saying that there's more to the story after he killed these girls. But he's like, yeah, you know, I mean, there was bad things. There was bad things that happened to me, so I hit him with my truck. What's the matter with that? You don't see this? He said Maria mocked him over Charlie Kirk's murder by resharing something that was critical of Kirk. And whenever he says, this is a quote he says, whenever Maria sees the pizza guy come, better think of Charlie Kirk for making fun of his fucking death, he said. Stupid ass clown, just remember that. The pizza context was that on the live stream, he would order pizza to Maria's home and make her pay for it. Maria's family called him a coward of a man, this is great, who had been plotting this attack against Maria for months, carried out this horrific act, taking not only her life, but also Isabella's. He said, you shouldn't have accused me of sending porn. You shouldn't have dragged me into creating a police report. Word? That was worth killing him. Huh? Speak up. I think that's what's crazy, though. Like we by legitimizing this kind of behavior, by showcasing it, and making it a point of pride, Alligator Alcatraz, you know what I mean? Selling ICE merch, are you fucking serious? So people can walk around, and all it does is just the people who want to do this kind of shit but are too fat, stupid, or whatever to join ICE, which the bar is apparently pretty low. If Dean King can make it, you should see his training video, by the way. It's hilarious. Definitely not Superman anymore. But yeah, those people can just buy a shirt online, walk around, put a mask over their face, and get their weapons out of their garage or their base or their trunks or whatever, and then just run up and down the street, arresting people, probably just taking them and killing them, or justifying like, hey, he fought back, so I shot him. Wait a minute, you're not even ICE. How do you get away with that? But who's gonna know? They don't wear any badges. They don't wear any insignia. There's no uniform. There's no way to recognize them as part of an actual government organization. They're terrorists. ICE is a group of terrorists. They're not acting on any actual legal basis for most of this stuff. They're fudging over things by saying, we have warrants. Where? For this zip code. What about who in the zip code, dickhead? Like, really? Like, we're not even making an attempt at trying to cover this up a little bit? No. Like I said, I got spiraled out of control here. But like I said, I was talking to my mom about this kind of stuff, talking to my family, and I was saying the way that they're doing all this stuff, the way that it's coming out, like it's like every other day there's something else that's happening. It's another thing to be mad about or be infuriated about. Excuse me, God, I couldn't catch that in time. They either want you to spiral out of control, or they want to legitimize it so much that other people will take the law into their own hands and do the dirty work for them. But I said this whole thing with Trump is like, trying to get a kid to take a picture at like a portrait studio. And you got one parent who keeps trying to feed him SpaghettiOs while the other one is trying to get them into the next clean outfit. And this whole shit show cycle of the kid getting spun up on, salt and sugar running around. And you're just trying to get him to look reasonably decent for 5 minutes to take like a couple pictures before the cycle repeats all over again. And that's kind of how the news cycle is treating this. And that's very much how the Trump cabinet is treating it. Like, you have one or two smart people who are dangerously smart and evil as well, but they're at least smart enough to go, hey man, you should probably lay off some of this shit because it's going to be so much harder for us to hold this together when the elections come around, the midterm elections, and if we ever get to another election, because Lord knows President Trump can't wait to be Emperor Trump. But yeah, we're not going to get there if you keep fucking around with this stuff. And then the other idiots around him are like, yeah, go ahead, man. America. You're like, what? Who does he listen to? He's obviously in cognitive decline. The brain is like mush. So, you know, it kind of, he's like an amoeba. You know, you poke it with the stick in a certain direction, it goes in the other direction. You want to poke it with the stick till you get to where you want it to go. You know? But it's crazy though, because people are fighting back and they're being smart about it. You know? Like the people in Portland who are dressed up in like those blow up unicorn suits and the blow up like, you know, Tyrannosaurus suits, and they're just dancing out in front of the ice center like, this is what you guys look like. I'm like, that's funny. You know what I mean? Even when they were being attacked, they came back again. They're like, so what? You can't stop us. You can't arrest all of us. And just remember, just like in a bug's life, once they realize that we outnumber them 100-1, they are going to be truly terrified. And that's when we will truly see power. Like air traffic control controllers calling out sick. It's not legal for them to be able to, for the pay to be withheld from them after they've been furloughed or laid off or whatever. So if they're like, hey, we got to put you guys on furlough. When you get a chance to come back, then you'll just come back at your regular pay and everything like that. But we're not paying you back pay for laying you off. They make you wait for like 3-6 weeks or whatever. No, they can't do that. But that's what Trump wants to do. So they're like, if I'm not going to get paid, fuck it. I'm not going. Calling out sick. Oh, it must be COVID-25. I'm going to be over here on a couch, collecting an unemployment check and looking for another job because fuck you, that's why. That's what I would do. And it's funny to see people like, yeah, I'm an air traffic controller, I'm calling out sick, I'm not doing this, fuck that. Wait, keep fucking around. Like I said, the problem they forget is that people have the power. If we decide, hey man, you know what, air traffic controllers ain't going, stewards, you know, air hostesses or air hosts or whatever fuck we're supposed to call them this week, they're not going to work. Planes don't fly. Pilots be like, I'm not doing this shit. For what? And let air traffic get shut down in this country. They'll change some shit real fast. They'll tighten up real quick. You know? I mean, any excuse they can make to fuck over somebody. And like I said, it starts with started with women. And the LGBTQ community poking holes into their rights. You know, poking holes in their ability to be people. Then they're like, well, we can push a little harder. Now we just go for brown people in general. And then soon it'll be black people. And then soon they'll be like, maybe anybody who makes under $150,000 a year should be in jail. Maybe we should make being poor illegal. Just wait. If it's not you today, they're coming for you. And then, you know, it's just insane. I can't wrap my head around it. It drives me crazy. Yeah, man. I know I got heavy in the first half, but I promise there's more lighthearted shit on the way. I just want to get that out of the way so we're like done. We can go to fun stuff or at least something a little bit lighter hearted. Me about this dude, it's a Virginia Democrat. He getting roasted over violent texts that he wrote, which were awful, by the way. I'm not going to defend that at all. And I think he should get roasted for it. Is he a different person now? Yeah, I'm sure. And I'm sure he regrets saying what he said. He's talking about like one of his, I think it was in a primary race. I'm trying to remember exactly how this played out. Hold on. The pause button is going to do some magic real quick. So this is, it's a Virginia Attorney General race, right? Attorney General, and it was part of the governor's race things, looks like. But the dude's name who sent the text is called Jay Jones. He sent some texts a couple years back about a state Republican senator getting two bullets to the head and breeding little fascists, which is like, oh boy, you really went there, buddy. You really went there, man. You went after the homeboy was one thing, but his kids, that's a little different. That's a pretty tough look. But yeah, I read one of the texts that was they put it on TV somewhere. I'm trying to remember where it was. But Jay Jones was talking to somebody, obviously in a private conversation. And it was that whole adage of if I had two bullets and they put me in a room with Hitler and my opponent, I would shoot that guy twice. I was like, whoa, wow. Look, we've heard it. You know it. Not like I'm not immune to it. In that, like, I'm also not gonna just sit here and clutch pearls and act like, oh my goodness. I mean, anybody can make you feel some kind of way about him, right? But you're a lawmaker, dude. Like, that's a thing you maybe say in private if you feel that way. I mean, you shouldn't say it at all. But if you can say that, you should definitely not put it on the record. And he said it enough that somebody was like, whoever it was that was responding to was like, Jay, please stop. Which makes me feel like he was in his drink one night and he started talking that shit. And another thing. You know how you get when you be like real drunk and you be like brave and shit? Like, yeah, that must have been that. And they just let it rip. And now, you know, some of his supporters are kind of getting shot at because, well, not literally, figuratively, they're taking shots because, you know, they're supporting the dude. And they're like, hey, man, this was years ago. A lot of this was just vitriol. And he's just like, I think the notion is that he's grown as a person. He's changed from being that kind of guy. And this was an idiotic thing to have done, but he's definitely not this person anymore. And, you know, when we have these conversations about, you know, political violence, right, is what they're saying, or even like hate speech or whatever, that is protected under the First Amendment. You're totally free to say the kind of shit you want to say. You're not exempt from the consequences of saying it, but you are totally within your right to say it. And you know, it's cool that people are actually going after, well, not cool, but I mean, it's like shows like a level playing field when a Democrat does something equally horrendous, you know, like a Charlie Kirk, and says something equally horrendous or, you know, whatever, and they get punished for it. I personally think now if he had said it like 2 days ago, as opposed to 2 years ago, make more sense. To come after him for that, you know, then, you know, in the moment, in the present. But this is kind of like, you know, spanking a cat for digging up the plant. Like, you come home, the plant's been dug up. Cat's like, I did that shit like 3 years ago. They have no sense of time. So, like, you can't, unless you catch a cat actively doing something, they're like, it's very much tone. They don't have, like, an object permanence kind of thing, so they don't remember shit, really. It's not as, you know, it's not as short as like a goldfish, but like they're gonna be like, I did that's old shit. Why are you mad about that now? They won't remember that thing they did. They was like, I just see the after effects of this. What happened? I'm as confused as you. I think the other thing is when it comes to that is just in a vacuum, in a perfect world, that would have been caught like the day it happened and he would have gotten chastised for it at the moment. Now we're 3-4 years into the future. This is old shit right now. It's still horrible shit. He should still be called out for it. But what you going to do now? You know what I mean? Like, it's like when they came after Kevin Hart for some of the homophobic tweets they said he put out, you know? And he's like, yeah, I was a young man. I wasn't, you know, I was figuring shit out and I was doing things wrong. And that was awful and I apologize. And they're like, well, now apologize again. Or we won't let you host the Oscars. He's like, well, fuck the Oscars then. I'm not apologizing again. Like, there's only so much I can continue to do. If you never let people grow out of where they're at, they'll never have a chance to change. And it's the same kind of thing that I think about when it comes to, like, you know, like I said, these MAGA Republicans and, you know, racist people and shit like that. On the one hand, they absolutely need to be condemned for their bad behavior, but should they have to be punished for the rest of their lives for it? If you're willing to repent, make recompense, and change your ways, like actual, the best apology they say is always change behavior, right? So sorry, sorry, sorry doesn't mean shit to me. You know what I mean? If you want to show me that you've changed, do better. Be better. That will impress more upon me that you're a different person, right? So if they're going to change, that's a whole different ball of wax. But if they're not, get what you get. But, you know, I mean, how long can you continue to beat somebody over the head for something when they're like, I'm sorry. And you're like, it's not enough. They're like, it'll never be enough for you then. And if we're not willing to make that kind of concession for people to be able to change, to fuck up, make mistakes, and then change to become better people and let them grow and move forward, well, we're no better than they are. You know what I mean? And you can insert yourself into that conversation however you see fit. But I think we need to really pay attention to the way that we attack people and stuff like that. I mean, I was thinking about that too, because of this whole Riyadh Comedy Festival thing. Some of y'all have seen this too. So I think we talked about it with the Canelo Crawford fight that happened on Netflix a while back. Where I feel bad for laughing at this, but they had some Saudi, I don't know, investor or something like that that was there. And the crowd was booing the guy when he came out because he was making a big deal about, like, yes, I supported this thing. You know, I'm putting money into this. And they're like, boo. I was like, oh, my God, dude. This is a bad look, dude. I hate it for you, but this is not a good look. But, yeah, the Riyadh Comedy Festival comes out. And, you know, they're saying, like, hey, there's certain things that you can say, certain things you can't say. Freedom of speech ain't the same shit over here. Like, don't make fun of the royals. And they're like, oh, but this stuff is cool. You can say this, that, and the other. And the whole thing was shaped. And I listened to Bill Burr talk about it. And it was interesting because, excuse me, in the past, I've heard of him going to other places where freedom of speech is not quite the same as it used to be here. And when he talked about the experience that he had going to Riyadh, it made me start to think, because there's a lot of comedians that I really respected who went over there and did this comedy festival. And in my initial reaction, like I said, I responded to it on social media. I was like, what? I really hope there's a deeper story behind all this, because it don't look great, you know? Here we do, we have like this group of investors and, you know, probably other business people and royalty and whatnot invested in this. I'm positive of that. Let me say this. That's my speculation, but I'm almost positive that that's what's going on. And that's why people were really mad about the idea of the festival in the first place. And they're like, they want to get their money into American businesses and infrastructure and entertainment. So it kind of legitimizes them. And then we're also enmeshed with that government and that country. And on the one hand, you know, like, I wouldn't want that kind of association, knowing the way that they have been about people. Like when they killed Khashoggi, chopped that dude up, and then nothing happened. He was just dead, gone, nothing came of it. Well, like, the human rights abuses alone are enough to make me like pull back on the idea of wanting to take Saudi money, especially from the government or from the royalty. It's like, there is no way. You know, I can't be beholden to that. On the other hand, too, because when you say it, when you take the money, it legitimizes the process and the people who are behind it. And so on the one hand, I get that, too. On the other hand, these people are comedians. And their job isn't to entertain the Saudi government. Their job is to make people laugh. And when I looked at it from that perspective, I'm like, you know, the reason most of them probably went there was to tell jokes, to talk to the people, not to hang out with the Saudi national, you know, Saudi prince, or hang out in the halls of government. That'd be one thing if they, you know, if they offered Bill Burr like a $400 million plane. I forget what it was, $400,000 gold airplane to come and perform. I'd be like, ugh, that's pretty gross. That it's not President Bill Burr. It's not Senator Bill Burr. It's comedian and, you know, podcaster Bill Burr. I'm not saying that necessarily makes it okay, but at the same time, like, his job is to entertain people. And he was there for the Saudi people, not the princes and the principalities and those in power. And for the people of Saudi Arabia, I think that it's a very different thing to open up and show them laughter and humor and the lighthearted side of America, instead of just, we got bombs and we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Like, we can do better. You know, if we're trying to foster international, you know, peace and civility, what better way than by making people laugh? You know what I mean? Outside of making them some food or giving them a kick-ass music show, like, making people laugh is universally a great way to get along with one another. And so, for the people of Saudi Arabia, that's a huge win, because, you know, they're human beings, just like us. And I'm sure that they don't want to be perceived by the evils of their government. I'm sure they're not thrilled about a lot of that shit either. So, what do? You know? You get this opportunity to spread goodwill, to spread cheer, and make a little coin, and you're going to take some, you know, it's like, take some backlash for it. I don't know. And here's the other thing. I'm also not the arbiter to tell them or anybody else, hey, how you got your bag is not okay with me, so don't do it. It might not be okay with me. It might be totally okay with me. It's not my fucking problem, though. At the end of the day, whatever those people did when they ran over that comedy festival and took that check and had that experience, that's something that they have to live with. Now, as a fan, I can reconcile myself and say, like, you know, I do. I'm like, yeah, probably ain't the coolest look, but I can kind of see why you went there, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing if they're, like, watching people being hung or beheaded at the show. They're like, how about that? But that's not what's going on. They're there to make the people laugh. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I've asked my Discord channel about that, but I'm asking you as well. What do you think is the right thing to do? Or what's your response, your reaction to the Riot Comedy Festival? And then maybe my context might color your idea, but if it doesn't, sure. I mean, even if it does, I'd love to hear about it. So pop on over to Patreon. And it's free, by the way. You don't have to pay money to join the Patreon. It's free if you want to join. And send me messages so I can read them on the air. Patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Link in the description. So that's enough of the shill from my side. Let's talk about some fun shit, man. Podcast is drag, dude. All this dude does bitch about politics. Well, politics affects people. And you're people, right? I know it's affected me. Like I said, it hit my family just this week. And who knows? God forbid it actually hits any closer to home. But I figure the more people kind of dance around and avoid talking about these bigger, broader issues that affect us all as human beings, as citizens of this country and citizens of the planet, we do ourselves and others a disservice by backing away from these conversations. Just because they're uncomfortable doesn't mean that they're not worth having and that these ideas aren't worth exploring. Because when we don't, we end up getting like a thought vacuum. And that's when people like Trump, like Kristi Noem, like Ron DeSantis, like Kash Patel, get to, you know, like Tim Scott, get to sneak in, and then they get to get their hooks into the people, and then they poison those minds. They're people just like us. You know what I mean? These people that we're mad at in our communities, in our homes, in our, you know, in our workspaces, they're people just like us. They're just people who got the wrong information and got the wrong mindset. And maybe with a little compassion, maybe with a little understanding, a little bit of space, maybe we can reach those hearts and minds as well. So it is important to have these discussions, whether you have them here, whether you have them in your home or your place of worship or whatever. Don't run from them. Don't be afraid. There's more to gain than there is to lose. Speaking of gaining, ooh, baby, this is a real light week for football because, the Steelers and the Bears both like didn't really have a game this week that we could talk about. It was just Jacksonville versus Kansas City. And I called it for once. I got it right. Kansas City walked into this game, at a 2-2 record. And Jacksonville, shockingly to me personally, was at 3-1 to the start of the season. New coach, you know, we've got like a bunch of new talent that's come in over the last year or so. And they're sharpening up. And like I said, felt like Jacksonville at the beginning of the year. They're strong, they're young, they're energetic, they're jazzed up. They seem to like their coach a lot. The coach seems to really like them and like the game. And want to work and try some new things. And they were just kind of finding their footing with one another through like the first half of this, the preseason, and then into this season. But man, when I told you that this one was going to be close, I did not expect it to be this close. Even though I did say it was going to be that close and it would be like a field goal apart. Man, did I nail that shit. Jacksonville just squeezed out a victory from Kansas City, 31-28, literally a field goal's worth. And I was like, oh my God, not only was it close, it was exactly what I thought, a field goal, man. But some of the most insane plays I've seen in football in recent memory. One, Jacksonville, while Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback, he gave up a couple of interceptions, and there was definitely a lot of penalties on both sides, you know, from Kansas City and from Jacksonville. And it was an aerial display, and also quarterbacks showing off. Patrick Mahomes has this very, Bill Burr calls it a C-wordy. I'm not going to say that word just yet, but it's very unty kind of style of play. And he's very, very flouncy. And then also it's kind of like, you know what it is? It's that little brother kind of, I'm not touching you. You can't get mad. But they got their finger like an inch away from your nose. I'm not touching you. You can't get mad. That's kind of how Patrick Mahomes plays ball. Trevor Lawrence is a little bit more of a stand-up dude. I mean, he's taken some shots. He's taken some hits. I mean, he's definitely been sacked quite a bit. But yeah, he's also showed that he wasn't afraid to run. And he, instead of like, I think it was last season, he got jammed in the head for taking a late slide. It was his fault, and he admitted to it later. He's like, I should have gotten to the ground much sooner, and then that shot would have been either, it would have either never happened, or if I was going to not slide soon, I should have just taken the hit because it was his fault for dropping his body. Now, he's learned that since then. Now he just puts his shoulder down and runs, which is pretty impressive. goodness, I got a tickle in my throat like you wouldn't believe. Pardon me. But yeah, man, the kid showed a lot of heart. The cardiac cats had me dying. I almost killed my cat because she was sitting on my lap in the third quarter. It's 2 minutes and 19 seconds left. It's 14 to 21. They were just up. It was like 14 to 7, I think, at that, or 14 to 14. It's tied. And like they're at like basically like the 4 yard line, 3 or 4 yard line. And they're just about to score when Devin Lloyd, this is great, AFC Defensive Player of the Month of September, pulls an interception off of Patrick Mahomes, runs it back 99 yards for a friggin' touchdown. One of the most insane plays I've seen in years. Like I said, I'd clap my hands and scream. My cat leaped off my lap and turned around and looked at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm laughing. My wife is laughing. We're cheering. I can't get over it. I'm like, that's so impressive. I watched the highlight. Must have watched it like 6 or 7 times. I was like, that's insane work. And Jacksonville, everything just seemed to be, even when they were making penalties, it seemed like they were really pushing and committed to making sure they advanced the ball down the field and didn't let KC shake them. And man, they showed some real gumption, because like at the end of the fourth quarter, literally, it's about to be the game. You know, they fought with KC for the whole game. It's like, man, the Chiefs are up. It's 28-24. And you're thinking this is going to be a wrap on this shit, right? You're like, oh man, I don't know if they're going to make it. They get down to like past the 2 minute warning. You know, Kansas City runs the clock out real hard. And it's the fourth quarter. It's practically the last play of the game. You know, we ain't making this any further. My heart went into my stomach. Trevor Lawrence takes a snap. As he's stepping back, his center steps on his foot and he trips and falls. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no, this is the game. This is the game right here. They're going to steamroll this kid and he's done. He's done. Trevor Lawrence flops for like a second or two, finds his feet, stands up. And you couldn't have scripted this better. This is like Any Given Sunday level fucking cinematography would have been amazing on this. He scrambles to his feet, looks to get ready to throw it into the end zone, realizes there's not much of a shot, and sees an open lane. And then it's like time slowed down. You just hear your heart beating. And he charges forward and dives into the end zone for the touchdown. I scream. I'm jumping up and down. I'm like, I can't fucking believe it. That's my boy. And they hold it. And even as Casey's trying to sort it out, right at the last play of the game, they have to turn it back over to Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is watching his receivers run downfield. He's got the wall of protection around him, so no one's going to touch him. And then he Hail Marys it all the way down the fucking field. and right into triple coverage. And that was like the last 5 seconds of the game. They swat this pass out of the air. It's down. The game's over. Regulation. Jacksonville takes it. 31-28. What a freaking game. They don't get much better than that. But yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I had to run and go. You know what? It's crazy. I've had cats for years. But, and Kimari's like a pretty hypoallergenic cat. Like, nobody's really allergic to her because of her breed and her coat. But she casts hair everywhere. So I'm used to getting, like, cat hair, like, up my nose or in my ear or on my eye. Because she's just around. You know what I mean? She's a cat. She sheds hair. Can't help it. But this time I thought I caught cat hair. And it was just like a little tiny fiber off of, like, piece of clothing or, like, my hoodie or something like that. It got stuck on my eyeball. And then it just felt like it wound itself around. Oh, man. Trying to pull that kind of stuff off your eyeball is like trying to cut the red wire in a movie. Jeez. Because you don't want to stick your finger in your eye. And you definitely don't want to stick an implement into your eye. The only thing I found that actually helped, and which is weird, is to use something that actually has fibers on it. Is a Q-tip. And take a Q-tip and roll it in like a little tiny dollop. Like not even a dollop. Just kind of just barely glaze it over with some Vaseline. And you have to put that on your eyeball. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying you should do that. That's what I found that works. But God, is it a horrific looking process. And in your eyes, your nose, everything just waters all at once. It's such a fuck. I hate that feeling. Absolutely terrible. That's the other thing too. I was thinking about this the other day because I did this. And I'm sure some of you have probably done this too. Why is it? Why is it that when you have to go, this is going to be a little gross, but I mean, just bear with me for a second. Why is it that when you have to go to the bathroom really bad and you're like, man, this is going to be a bad one. That's when your nose decides, hey man, you need to blow this. You ain't done this in a while. And then your nose starts running or whatever. And you're like, gosh, now my nose is dripping. I'm sitting here. My butt is out. I'm trying to use the bathroom. And your nose is like, we're going to bleh. And you're like, now I got to blow my nose. So now my sinuses are clear so I can smell everything I'm doing in the bathroom. What is that? What design flaw do humans have that happens to them? Has that ever happened to you? Oh my God. It's so weird. I've never had that happen. I don't feel like it didn't. I never really had it happen when I was younger. You know, something only really started happening in like my late 20s, maybe early 30s. I don't know, like, then you're on the toilet and you're like, oh man, my nose is running. I better blow my nose. Oh my God, what the fuck is that smell? Is that me? I don't know, man. I need to get a Duke Cannon sponsorship or a Dollar Shave Club and get those one wipe chalice, as Bill Burr called them. That'd be cool. You get a sponsorship with them. They're like, you talk about this kind of gross shit. Here, give you a free pack of this stuff. I wouldn't be averse to doing an ad read for them. I use the products. I think they're great. There's a lot of value there, too. Especially for razors. Jeez. I remember last time I went to go and buy a razor because I'm like, oh, I didn't have one and I needed a shave. It was like fucking $8 for one razor. I'm like, for what? Nah, bro. You're just going to have to deal with my funky little hairline today because I'm not doing that for $8. Now I keep my Dollar Shave Club razor with me everywhere I go. And I bring a pack of extra blades just in case. Speaking of value, anybody playing Game Pass still?
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh.
I went to go listen to the recent debacle about Xbox Game Pass increasing their price for Game Pass Ultimate from $19.99 to, get this shit, $29.99. What? You went up a whole $10 on people just out of nowhere and gave us the dumbest, literally the dumbest, most useless lineup ever. Like, I know people like EA, but it does not make up nearly that much of your player base for you to put that in there with Ultimate. Come on now. Madden is big, but it ain't that big. Plus, it's getting sold to Saudi Arabia, so good luck with that shit. I know a lot of people who are declining to purchase any more EA games, period. And they're going to give me something that has no value to me whatsoever, or to a probably large majority of your player base. Let's say like maybe about 40% of your player base plays some kind of EA sports game on a regular basis. Still, that's not nearly enough, I think, to justify raising the price by $10, shoehorning it to everybody on Ultimate. On top of that, Ubisoft Plus, why are we bundling services together? This isn't Verve. You're not going to slap together a bunch of streaming services for games and then be like, but this is on Game Pass Ultimate. People are going to quit. Bought a card because I was like, I'll be damned if the next time we get charged for this shit, they charge us $30 for it. We'll quit. Hey, we will stop. I've got a Nintendo Switch that works just fine. You know what I'm saying? Xbox ended up getting the boycott on this bullshit. They're trying to push it like, oh, we're going to give you more points so you can earn more money back with our rewards programs. It's like, what are you, a fucking supermarket? Dude, just play the game, son. Just put the games out. I know you're running out of ideas. You know what I mean? Nintendo's got a new console out. You got to stick with the Series X because you have made this investment. Now you got to ride it out for at least another 3 to 5 years to see any kind of return on console sales. But motherfucker, what? People are already talking about, like, they're like, either I'm going to just drop Game Pass entirely, or I'm skipping down to like the second tier package because it's about the same thing as what we're getting right now, but with all this extra bullshit and the $10 extra price tag. I'm like, yeah, I bought one card for Ultimate, and like after that, we're dropping. And it's like, if it weren't for the fact that we have games that you absolutely have to have Game Pass to play now, which they knew what they were doing when they did this shit, we would just quit. And like I said, I got a Nintendo Switch that works just fine. There's a bunch of books I've been waiting to read. I mean, I could spend my time other ways. Xbox about to lose a lot of money on this shit. They did the same like Disney Plus move where they're like, oh, we're going to raise our subscription after we just fucked a lot of people over. What? No. Xbox did not learn the lessons of Disney. What is happening with these people? You're going to have to do like Disney and be hands and knees lately. I mean, it got to the point where I was just so upset about it. I just turned my Xbox on just long enough to get the extra points and shit. I mean, if you're going to give me the points for this while I got it, I'm going to take everything I got. I'm going to stack it up for Xbox gift cards. And then I'll use that to pay for my next subscription to Game Pass Premium as opposed to Ultimate. Or I'll use it to buy something off, you know, that I can play offline. Just a single player downloadable experience. I could be like, oh, I've got it on my hard drive. I don't need Xbox Live to play this. Sorry for your luck. I don't get it with the, who wins when you do this? Who wins besides the people who make the money? How much money do they need? What, I don't get it. The greed is unbelievable to me. It's not only unbelievable, it's mind-boggling. I have no idea where they come up with this shit. Anyway, I spiraled all over the place there. I wanted to talk about the upcoming games for the week, and I didn't get to those because I was basically looking up the Jaguars score. And I wanted to see, because I couldn't remember the name of that guy, the linebacker, Devin Lloyd. What a fucking monster. That guy right there. Anyway, I'll go back to the football thing for a second. Let's see. Steelers versus Browns on Sunday at 1 p.m. Blah, 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 blah. And then the Seahawks versus Jaguars also at 1. And then we won't see anything from Chicago until next week Monday when they face off against the Commanders. So we have plenty of time to wait for more football. But look, yeah, I'm going to say, let's see, can I call my picks right now? I probably should call my picks right now. I don't know, man. This is tough. I'm going to say Steelers beat the Browns. We'll just do that. Here goes Steelers win. And I think the Jaguars and Seahawks, that's going to be a solid one, but I'm going to go Jags. Let's go Jaguars. Let's see if we can keep this winning streak going. Love to see the Cardiac Cats go up to the playoffs at least. That'd be dope. And then Chicago versus the Commanders.
It's a tough one there.
I don't know. I'm going to go Chicago. I mean, I would always want to root for my boys. They haven't really shown a lot of promise over the last couple of years. But I'm going to say that the Bears are going to pull that one out. Yeah, everybody wins next week. We'll find out if I was right or wrong about that on Wednesday, but on next podcast. Which, by the way, like I said, reminder, the podcast will be 2 years old next week. Well, this week. You know what I'm talking about. On the 10th. But yeah. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. And yeah, and then the last thing I'm going to close it out with is the Acidophilus report. Maybe I should actually make that a part of this podcast to see how it goes. Like I said, I started doing Acidophilus, like taking Lactobacillus Acidophilus supplements. And quite honestly, like the incidences of like extreme bloating and gas, which I know is super, super cool. But for somebody who suffers with like, you know, lactose intolerance and gluten intolerance and, you know, just, you know, that GI imbalance or whatever, this Lactobacillus Acidophilus supplement is actually working really well. I feel more balanced. I'm starting to feel more energy. I'm able to get more out of what I eat. I don't have to eat as often. I don't feel like I'm eating as often. And I'm not having to spend inordinate amounts of time in the restroom, which is great. The more life to live outside of the toilet. But I would say if you obviously you need to talk to your physician.
I wouldn't go to a specialist GI if I could help it.
Especially not Boyle and Groover. Those guys sucked ass. They told me nothing and they charged us a lot of money on our ate up our insurance. The best thing I've done was just start reading up through holistic sources, even sources like the Mayo Clinic, you know what I mean? More trusted academia. And then, the Lactobacillus has been working really well. So this Acidophilus stuff is great. I ate some mac and cheese. Like what I was telling you, I was having this real issue. I was eating stuff and I was like, man, I'm fucking sick. Just hours later, I ate the same basic dinner that I did the day before, like 2 days prior, out in the Lactobacillus. Like nothing. Nothing. I'm like, are you kidding me? I feel great. My voice went up, I feel great. Yeah. What are you talking about, Mo? But no, I felt awesome. I was like, I could do this all day. And that was my favorite thing. It was like, I didn't feel like I needed to eat as much, which is great for me because I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight, but I'm not being super, you know, stringent about keeping up with my diet and exercise. I'm trying to get better at it, but, you know, honestly, it's so fucking hot. Like, if I'm going to sweat, I want to be able to actually cool off afterwards, not just be hot to be hot. You know what I mean? It also makes me want to get, like, a giant metal fan that I can put in our garage so I can actually, you know, use the rowing machine and work out in there. Get rid of some of the other bullshit in there, and I can put an actual weight bench in there probably one of these days. I don't know. Thoughts and random musings, of course, is what you come here for. And you got all of that today. Thank you guys very much, and happy 2 years to the One in One podcast. Thank you, thank you. Keep coming back. Tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell your baby mama, tell your baby daddy, tell your grandma, tell somebody. Jeez, you know what I'm talking about? Like, tell a friend, family member, whatever. Share it around if you got one. I found a handful of old business cards. So I'm going to start doing this fun thing I did before. I'm going to take them to like bookstores and just stuff them into random books. And when somebody buys the book, they'll have a bookmark and they'll have the podcast. Maybe I should start making more of those cards and just handing them out to people. I got to come up with a giveaway for the podcast too. Anyway, these are all thoughts and ideas that are coming to me just out of random nowhere. I have no rhyme or reason to what I'm doing right now. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Thank you for checking out the Patreon and helping over there. All my lovely Patreon supporters. Mwah, love you. And then thank you guys over on Twitch. Mwah, love you too. And I will see you guys a little later on today on Twitch. So by the time you get this podcast, I'll probably already be live. But you can check me out over at twitch.tv/linkib. And yeah, I'll do some video gaming stuff over there. I don't know if I'm going to play any more Xbox stuff today. I have no idea. I have not thought that far ahead in the future. So yeah, let's just wait and see. I'll see you guys again on Wednesday. You guys are dope. I will see you guys a little further on down the road. Peace.